You would turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, as we're moving right along. We've only got a bunch more to go. We're not halfway there yet. There's 52 chapters in the book of Jeremiah. So we're not halfway there yet. Getting close. We're going to see a little bit tonight where Jeremiah, at least the first time that it's mentioned anyway, that where he is locked up for what he's preaching. It's only for a short time, looks like, but and this won't be the last time. There'll be other times after this, but we're starting to see in the last. We just saw this the last few chapters. We're seeing more now of his persecution from the others in Jerusalem. This time for one of the priests, and so let's start with verse one. Now, Pashur, the son of Amir, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. So this is a continuation, sort of the last chapter. So this Pashur, the son of Amir, the priest. Now, if you remember about the priest, the Levites, it was passed down from father to son and so on. Unless there was some reason that you were disqualified for, a father would, or a son would be, if his father was a priest, he was going to be a priest too. That's how it worked. It was in the bloodline. But this Pashur, and we won't get into it tonight. Our if you remember, our Sunday school teacher has taught on a man named Pashur recently in our study on the Kings. There's three or four different men named Pashur with his same name. It must have been a popular name, I guess, in the scripture. Not the same man, but there's four different men with the same name. At least three, maybe four. I can't remember exactly, but this one is a priest. His father was a priest before him. He says who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord. That's talking about the temple. So he was one of the chief governors. In other words, one of the chief rulers in the house of the Lord in the temple. And so he has heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. And many times these, when he talked about these chief governors or chief leaders in the temple, if you fast forward to New Testament times, these men would have been similar to what we see in Jesus's day and in Paul's day when they dealt with the Sanhedrin. So that these leaders in the temple would have been part of a council at some point, and they would be the ones who would enforce the laws, if you will, of the temple. The law of Moses. They were the ones that were in charge of making sure that these were enforced. And also remember too, we're going to see this in tonight's lesson. The temple had its own, not really a military, but more like a police force. And we talked about that some recently in one of our studies with the apostles and with Christ. They had their own police force. And so you see that in the New Testament, you see it talked about the captain of the guard and those things, those type of terms. So they had their own, to bring it into perspective, today's perspective, if you know anything about the Vatican, they have their own force there at the Swiss Guards that are there. Very similar. And a lot of things, not in a good way, don't get me wrong, but not in a good way, but But a lot of the things that you see in Roman Catholicism, they do take from the scripture. Now, they use it, they either take it out of context or they use it in a way that it shouldn't be used, but that's where they get it from. So their Swiss guards they have at the Vatican today, they get that from the guards that they had at the temple. That's where that example comes from. Now in verse 2, then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. Now, a lot of times in the scripture where it says the word smote, it means they killed him. Jeremiah is not killed. They didn't kill him. He's another way to look at this word smote is that he was beaten. And so Pashur had Jeremiah beaten. By who? Well, remember, in Jeremiah's day, you didn't have the Romans as you did in Jesus' day or in the days of the apostles. This would have been from the guards at the temple. They would have been the ones that carried out this punishment. And so they put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin. So they had a place where they put prisoners. Similar, not really like a dungeon, because a dungeon you normally think of is like a underneath the castle. But here this high gate of Benjamin was by the house of the Lord. There were gates that were named after the 12 tribes around Jerusalem. And so that's where this gate of Benjamin was, there by the house of the Lord, by the temple. Another way to think on this too is, remember in the old days in London, remember the London Tower, where many of the political prisoners went. That city was very Catholic oriented in its beginnings. And even with the Church of England, they still are very Catholic oriented. And they just have a different leader now. It's the only difference. This is another place. And as we're reading through some of these stories, you start to see bits and pieces of history come together. And you start to see bits and pieces of things around the world that we see regular, things we maybe stories we've heard growing up from history class, or you see where those things, where they got the idea for those things, is from the scripture. So this high gate of Benjamin, that's where they got the idea for the Tower of London and things like that. There are other examples, and we'll mention them as we come to them when I recognize it. Verse 3, and it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magormissabib. So the Lord is giving him another name. His birth name, if you will, is Pashur, but the Lord is giving him another name. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword, all his friends. Now, who are the friends of the priest? The other priest. And now they probably had other friends outside the temple too, but for the most part, he's referring to the other priest here. And as we get into this study in Jeremiah a little further later on, it talks about all those in the temple, those who served in the temple. A lot of those men died by the sword at the hands of the Babylonians. But this man, Pashur, his God-given name, if you will, means that he's a terror not just to himself, but to his friends too, those around him. Verse 5, moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city and all the labors thereof and all the precious things thereof and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And if you remember the story, that the armies of Babylon, the king Nebuchadnezzar, he has his armies confiscate all the possessions, all the wealth and all the possessions of not just the kings in the of Judah, not just the kingdom, the crown jewels, if you will, but also everything of value in the temple goes back to Babylon. And it's going to be under the watch care of this man Pashur. He's going to get to see it all. And he's going to live through, at least through that part of it. And now in verse 6, and now Pashur and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity. And thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. Pashur is going to be one of the ones that's going to be taken captive. He says, all that dwell in thy house. So all his family, his servants, if he has servants, everybody in his house is going to be taken captive and taken to Babylon. And he says, you're going to die there. He's not going to die in battle. He's not going to die like some of his friends do. He's going to be taken back to Babylon. He's going to die there, and he's going to be buried there. For a priest in Jeremiah's day, that was a slap in the face. That's almost blasphemy to them to not be buried where their ancestors are buried. Remember, just like the kings, you had the tombs of the kings in Jerusalem. There was also a special place for the priest of the temple. And so he was not going to be buried with his fathers, the priest before him. Thou and all thy friends. So his friends that are going to be taken captive, taken back with him, taken to Babylon with him. And he says, to whom thou hast prophesied lies. Jeremiah just basically poked a guy in the eye and slapped him in the face and all that. He just told him, You've been lying. You've been prophesying lies. And remember, we've looked at that before. These priests were preaching health and wealth gospel. Everything was going to be good. God was going to take care of them. They hadn't done anything wrong. You know, remember, and if you watch this, you see where the priests, as they're preaching these nice, pretty, well-thought sermons, nothing's ever mentioned about repentance. Jeremiah's preaching repentance, but they never do. Now, the rest of the chapter, we see Jeremiah complain to the Lord. And he says, in verse 7, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and has prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. So Jeremiah thinks that the Lord is deceived. And the Lord hasn't deceived him. The Lord's, and he'll come to see that. But these people have begun to mock him, and they've begun to persecute him in ways that he wasn't expecting. He thought the Lord was going to protect him, and everything was going to be fine and good through all this. But persecution has come now, and at first he's accusing the Lord. He's complaining to the Lord that it's happening, but it's he'll see. You'll get it here in a bit. He's not. The Lord shows him what's happened. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more of his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He preached what the Lord gave him to preach, and it's cost him for preaching the truth. Physically. But he also says he decided to stay silent for a time. But he couldn't, because the word of the Lord came to him. And if you've ever, I think at some point in time anyway, all of us probably experiencing that. It's not just for preachers or teachers, but especially for preachers and teachers. If the Lord gives you something to say and you don't say it, he'll make you miserable until you do. And so that's what's happened to Jeremiah. He was silent because he saw the people's reaction. He saw they weren't listening and they weren't paying attention. So he thought, well, I'm done speaking to them. And he stopped. But the word of the Lord kept coming to him. And he couldn't take it anymore. He had to preach again. In verse 10, for I heard the defaming of many. Fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. So he's starting to see now, the Lord's showing him that, hey, I didn't lie to you. I didn't deceive you, but you are going to suffer persecution through this. And even today, with the Lord's people, when we hold to the truth, we're persecuted for it. Now, maybe not openly. It may be behind our backs. It may be out in the open. You know, we don't know. However the Lord chooses for that to happen. Verse 12, but O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. He's Jeremiah, and we'll see this throughout the book. He has times of where he just gets tired of everything and everybody, and asks the Lord to destroy them. Do it now, you know, type of thing. And then he goes back to lamenting over them, about how what the Lord's about to do to them. And he goes back and forth. And here's one of those times where he tells the Lord there in verse 12, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. You know, come and destroy them. You know, come and bring the punishment on them, he's saying to the Lord. But it's not time yet. It will be soon, but not yet. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. He knows that the Lord is going to deliver him. Now, I don't think he fully understands yet. And he will. He's had a taste of it so far with Pasher, but not fully yet how much persecution is going to come his way, because it gets worse. Verse 14, cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day that wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born unto thee, making him very glad. Now he goes back to feeling sorry for himself. Wishing he was never born because of the message he's having to preach. It's not an easy thing to stand and preach against the sins of God's people. And that's what he's had to do. And especially when they don't listen and there's no repentance, no evidence of repentance in them. Verse 16, and let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not, and let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontime, because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore come I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. Jeremiah is very troubled over the situation that he's in. The Lord's put him in a very difficult situation, but he's also prepared him for it too. And he may not realize it at this point in time, but he does eventually. All the persecution that he's going to face, the Lord has prepared him for it. Whether he wants to admit it or not right away, he has. And we'll see. Just like in this case, he was beaten, put in stocks, had to go before the leaders of the temple, and they threatened him to quit preaching the truth. And he says he was silent for a time, but he couldn't keep his silence. And it is that same preaching that will get him in trouble again. With man, not with God, but with man. So we'll stop there for tonight. We'll pick up with chapter 21 next time. Chapter 21 is a little shorter than usual. We'll see. We might try to do part of 22 is a longer chapter. We might try to do part of 22 next time also. We'll see. We'll see how the Lord leads in that. So that's all for tonight.